Thank you, everyone, for being here today. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Do we, Kathy, can you do roll call?
Yes. Andy Rich?
Here.
Dan Crosby?
Here.
Sharon Tobias?
Here.
John Dashner?
Present.
Bruce Sutter?
Right here.
Jeff Jones?
Here.
And Bill Cover is absent. Also with us are General Manager Tyler Mayo, Administration Operation Manager Lee Schneed, myself, Kathy Powell, Accounts Manager. We have Craig Lutz, who's our Standing Committee Leader. We have our Legal Counsel, Andrew Ramos, and Legal Counsel, Gavin Ralph.
Great, thank you. I guess we should do the Pledge of Allegiance. I kind of skipped over that. It wasn't on my list, on my agenda.
I have it.
I'm out of practice. All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So the next item is our public comment. Do we have any members of the public who wish to say anything? All right, we're going to move on. Hearing nothing, we'll move on to the consent calendar. Are there any of the items on the consent calendar that anyone wishes to discuss or has questions about that we should remove from the consent calendar? Okay, so hearing none, I need a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll make a motion to accept the consent calendar.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All, any opposed? Did someone oppose? I'm sorry.
No.
All right. Motion carries. All right, Tyler.
So before we go too far, I'd like an update on what happened on the shareholders meeting.
On the annual meeting?
Yeah, the annual meeting that you and I were not at. So was there anybody that showed up from the public?
No. No, it was a standard board meeting. Yeah, actually, it only went about 45 minutes. I was the chair that day, so there was really, if you go back to the original agenda and the meeting minute notes, you'll have 100% of what happened.
Well, they're not in the packet. That's why I asked the question.
Okay.
And Andy, there may have been one lady who dialed in, but she pretty much said hello, and that was about it, if I recall.
Yeah, there was no comment from the public. Andy gave a short or a nice and short president's report. I gave a short general manager's report and the minutes, because we did finally make a quorum. We were able to accept the minutes from 2021 and the two meetings that we had in 2022. Sharon was reelected to her position and then was nominated to be president again. Andy carried on to be vice president again. And Bill Cover is still going to be treasurer. As far as the committees go, there was no change in any of the committees. Nobody else wanted to join any of the other committees. So that was pretty much it. And then it was end meeting. It was quick and painless.
Were there minutes taken?
Yes. And they're online on our website.
I can
print them or I can email them to you if you'd like, Dan.
Okay. And why aren't they in this packet today?
Because it's a shareholders, it only comes annually.
So officially, we won't see those minute meetings till next year for approval.
Unless you, yes.
Correct.
Okay. Unless you get online.
Okay. Yeah, if you could send it to me or send it to Leek.
You got it.
I was online looking at our website. It looks like it hasn't been updated in a long time.
I'm going to check into that.
Yeah, because there's no, you know, president's report, general manager's report. They're all like over a year old.
That's true.
Okay. That is true. I think I planned to do a president report in June, and I think my life got in the way. So I'll do a president report for that we can post and then include in the next bubbler. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great questions.
Okay, so for my general manager's report for today, the first thing I'd like to report on is that Kathy has become a certified bookkeeper. She has now mastered adjusting entries, correction of accounting errors, payroll, depreciation, inventory, internal controls, and fraud prevention. To get this, she had to pass a four-part national certification exam at a Prometric testing center, sign a code of ethics, and then submit evidence of at least 2 years of full-time bookkeeping experience, which most currently comes from being at Blue Lake Springs Mutual Water and then 8 years with Lilac Park HOA. And she also has produced monthly board approved financials for the Lilac Park HOA for the past 6.5 years. She also must update those skills annually by completing 20 hours of continuing education credits. So it does take quite a bit of work for her to be a certified bookkeeper to help out our company in our financials and bookkeeping, which I think will be very helpful in the future.
Great job, Kathy. Thanks for doing that.
Yep. Thank you, Kathy.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Kathy.
Thank you, Jeff.
And then after our special meeting we had and we decided to purchase a mini excavator, the board did request some training and certification for being able to operate the equipment. So I built kind of our own training program for the field operators and for myself to complete. This program includes mini excavator online training course through Hard Hat Training Series, which is a OSHA compliant company. The courses are reviewed and updated to meet the latest standards yearly. And also within this training program, I included a series of videos, and those were through the heavy metal learning, which are how to load and unload the mini excavator from a trailer, beginning operator training, advanced operator training, what not to do in a mini excavator. And then also I made it to where the guys need to read and understand the John Deere 26G owner's manual. And after completing all this training, the hard hat training series will give them an OSHA approved operator certificate. And then the series of videos and reading and understanding the owner's manual will be initialed and dated on a training form that I keep here in the office. So we are backing ourselves on knowing that everybody knows how to operate this piece of equipment before they get on it.
Tyler, is there any sort of annual refresher on any of that training?
Yeah, so the hard hat training, the OSHA one, can be done annually, or it said as things change. So let's say they're going to operate a different implement on the end of the back or on the end of the piece of equipment. They should be doing that training course to know how to operate. Let's say we purchase a jackhammer end for it or something. But yes, it does get updated annually with the new OSHA compliances. So being that it's only around $80 for each individual to take the course, we can have them take it annually or biannually, however the board would decide that they would like that.
And with all the training, we're still within training budget for the year?
Yes, this year we're a little more because of the new guys and trying to get them certified. But yes, that would be, with me included, we're looking at anywhere from $80, so $240 for three guys, or with me on it, you're looking at $320 a year for training, which is good. It just keeps them refreshed on the safety and the protocol they should be following while they're operating.
Yeah, I think it's $120 annually to do a research or review of that OSHA training. In my mind, would be appropriate. You know, it is heavy equipment. We do have not only workers' comp potential issues, we also have general public liability issues.
Yeah.
Are there CEUs required to maintain the certification?
No, it's just the one course for 120 to 150 minutes. So it's about 2 to 2.5 hours to complete the course. So then at the end of June, we completed the updates to the employee benefits and the employee handbook, which I'll be sending out to the changes to Bruce and Andy after the meeting. Then on July 6th, we finally got AquaStore to come out and the staff, and we completed the replacement of the damaged vent on top of tank 4. It was damaged over the heavy winter, and I do have a few pictures of that. So just one moment. So this is the original vent that was up there that was becoming damaged. It's hard to see on the top up there, but those are the support mounts are breaking through the surface of the vent. And in the second picture here, you can see where the screen is damaged. And Billy and I had moved those brackets over and replaced and re-drilled holes a few years back. And now those brackets have pushed through the roof of the vent, so it was just time to replace it. It was nearly 30 years old. So this vent, when we went to AquaStore to replace it, it no longer is being built because it's so old. They have a new style. So we had to pull it off, take it down and cut it. And then here's the new one. We bolted it up on the ground, hoisted it up onto the roof, and re-secured it to the top of the tank.
So is this to keep critters out or to vent gases and things out?
Both. So it keeps critters out, birds from going in there and making nests inside the tank, or lizards, pine needles, things of that sort going inside, as well as it vents it out, and as it's draining, it gives it a way to breathe, so it'll send water out into the community.
It looks much nicer.
Yeah, so I would hope it lasts another 30 years. Would be wonderful.
How much was that?
The original quote was for $2,000, but that was to replace the entire square up there, which we weren't able to do. So he's lowering the quote and sending in, should be, I'm going to say, the ballpark of $1,500. And then on July 11th, I attended a wildfire education workshop with all the neighboring water companies, local fire department, sheriff's department, forest service, Cal Fire, Calaveras OES, and then there were representatives that were at that workshop from Paradise. We learned a substantial amount of what went wrong in Paradise after the fire had come through. And dealing with FEMA and trying to get things rebuilt and replaced. So in October, our local water companies are going to get together and do training, which is NIMS and SIMS, training for through FEMA, which will help us understand the policies and procedures we should have in place in case of a major disaster. And we may have some new policies and procedures to help mitigate those things if something of that sort happens. As well, we're going to work with CCWD, and I had talked with Michael and Damon about it. We're going to try to do some simulations, which we did about 2 years ago. We did a couple simulations simulating a fire coming in and burning up their treatment plant or burning up our treatment plant. And we're going to work up a way to show the different scenarios and develop an emergency operations procedure to help map out the different methods and abilities that we both have to help each other in those events, whether it's us getting water from them or them getting water from us, or generator sharing or whatever might be able to be helpful, but every scenario is quite different. And that would kind of fall into our shared agreement that we have for helping each other, our mutual aid agreement.
And what's your expectation as to the timing? You said the next meeting is in October.
So October will be the NIMS and SIMS training through FEMA. There is a cost involved with that, so we're trying to group all of the water companies together to help mitigate that cost. And then as far as scenario building, that will happen this year and into upcoming years, and we're going to probably this year we'll develop some procedures mainly on how to valve us giving them water or adjusting pressures, or then we're taking water from them. Because to say it easily, our water coming out of our system has more pressure than theirs, and we'll overtake them, but we have to do a lot of adjusting to be able to get water from them to us.
Yeah, correct.
So having that laid out in a book, in case one of us can't get there and we have to have another operator do it, we want to be able to share that information with each other so we're not in the scenario and I can't get a hold of whoever's working over at CCWD to do what they need to do to give us water. So.
Okay, so it sounds like that might be early in the calendar year?
Probably for procedures and emergency plan. Right now, a few of their operators and I know how to do it, but in case one of us wasn't able to be there during those moments, we want to make sure that it's available for everybody. And then the last thing I have is information on Wes Wooten. He will be resigning as the assistant water master on July 31st. He got a job offer from PG&E, and there's no way we can match it. And he'll be moving on from here. I wish him the best of luck. I will miss him a bunch. He's a great worker and an even better person. So we're going to begin to look to filling his position within the next few weeks, so we won't have a big overlap of only two guys again.
Did you say that was Vince?
No, Wes Wooten.
Oh, Wes.
Yeah. He just got to his 6 months, and then PG&E came and offered him a job that he couldn't turn away.
Had he been looking?
No, he thought everything was great here. Few things to, you know, just for him to advance himself and basically for his family. You know, when you get those better opportunities and that type of money, you usually take it to better yourself and better things for your family.
Yeah, no, that's certainly understandable, and I wouldn't blame him, but I wonder if he was not trolling for, you know, another job. It seems unusual that PG&E would just call him out of the blue.
But he came from PG&E.
He came from PG&E through their hiring hall, and typically with hiring hall, my knowledge of it is if you did it with them, you're the first one to get a job offer the next time something comes up. It's been about a year and a half, and the same Tiger Creek area called him back and wanted him to take on a clerk job that they were offering.
No, that's too bad.
Yeah. So that he'll be missed greatly. And that's end of report.
Thank you, Tyler. And I get it. Sorry about that.
I had one comment. So, Tyler, when you send out that changes to the personnel manual, can you send it to me or to everybody?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, thanks.
And then I think it's me again.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't announce.
Into new business, when we purchased the excavator, the question also was rose, where are we going to store it, keeping it security-wise safe and safe from the elements. So we went out and looked at like prefab metal buildings. We also looked at developing, which is now our drive-through at the bank, by putting up a wall and a couple doors. And that seems to be the most feasible. So I did get a bid from Tice Construction, which he will frame up a 2x4 wall approximately 40 feet in length, 13 feet tall. Kathy will pull up the bid and say. With a width of 13 feet, or width of 10 feet and 13 feet tall, which we need about 12 feet or a little under 12 feet to clear the excavator being on the trailer. So it'll make it nice if we do it in the drive-through. We can come from either direction and make it a pull-through. He bid it at $98.50 for the main structure. And then we would have to go to Barton Overhead Door to have them install the two roll-up doors. Each of them would be 10 by 12. With being a manual door, costs $3,000 each, or $5,500 with a electronic lift, or that's the Larry did.
Oh, sorry.
With the electronic lift and the manual roll-up chain combined.
Sorry, I have to roll it up.
Get into the next bid. So the metal building, the prefab buildings, we're running with a snow load plus having to do the insulation so it won't sweat, and then we would have to pour a cement pad. It was getting into upwards of $50,000. It pretty much became non-feasible, so I pretty much pushed that one aside and started looking at a contractor developing the drive-through, which he recommended and said would be the most feasible that he could offer. So we could either go forward with this bid, or I can reach out and see if we can get more bids, or if anybody else has any other ideas of where we could place something that is in the ballpark of 20 feet long and 12 feet tall.
So the total here is close to $10,000 for the
wood structure, and then it'd be about another $10,000 if you went with two roll-up doors, or $8,500 with one chained, one electric, $6,000 if you wanted both of them manually operated. You had to go inside and lift the chain to open the doors. So we're running in the ballpark of under $20,000,
yeah,
depending on our choices of a door. Mm-hmm. And that does not include the paint or insulation on the inside. So we would have the guys probably paint it. That's pretty simple to take care of. Insulation and a little bit of batten board or something on the inside,
yeah,
we can take care of on our own as time lets us do.
So what's your feeling on the doors?
The doors, we definitely have to have a manual pull chain because the power probably, you know,
right.
And my experience with some friends and people I've known that have had the electric roll-up doors, they break quite a bit more often than the manual one. So going with one that's $5,500 or go both manual for $3,000 each would be the pathway I would do. I wouldn't do both of them electric opening with a key on the outside. The other price that I would say is not in here, and that would be at any building that we do, is getting This one would be Signal Service coming out and installing the magnetic connectors. So if it moved, it sets the alarm off. So that would be another cost. The last time we upgraded our security system here, it was probably in the ballpark of $1,000 to $1,500.
So there's nothing in this about the exterior finish?
No, there will. He did not bid for painting. That would be something we would just have our field operators do.
So what does the siding look like? Is it something that's going to match and blend with the building currently, or is it going to be obtuse?
He put in there to do the lap siding to match the existing building. So we wanted it to make it look like it belongs, that it wasn't just thrown in there and is real like T111 where we have a lap siding on the side of the building. We wanted it all to be the same lap siding and tie into the rock work and the beams and posts that are currently there.
So is that in his bid?
It's stated in the quotation as I read it.
Yeah, it's in there.
I don't see it in what Kathy has on the screen.
It's in
with lap siding to match existing building.
It's in the fourth line of the black text.
Okay, I see it.
What was the bid for the structure?
The metal building kit and structure?
No,
To build this over here, you're looking at $98.50 for the wood structure and putting up the same lap siding.
Right.
And then you're looking at approximately $6,000 to $8,000 for the two roll-up doors, depending on the configuration to go.
$16K.
Yes, so approximately $16,000, yes.
And then once these expenses are paid, they're basically no ongoing expense.
Just the maintenance of it, yeah, of course, if it, something was rotting or needs to be repainted, that would be the only maintenance and upkeep.
I make a motion that we budget $10,000 for the structure and $16,000 for the roll-up door.
No, just six for the roll-up door.
That's 16 total. And $6,000 for the roll-up door.
Okay.
So is there any electrical in this?
The electrical is already there, and then there's a current outlet on the inside wall where we're going to install a double door coming from inside the bank area. And he would just have to go up in the roof, run a piece of Romex down, and tie it into the existing lights that are underneath the drive-thru right now. So the existing lights are on a night switch, so they actually don't come on until nighttime.
Hmm.
So we would have them install just a switch on the inside and get rid of the sensor.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty reasonable bid.
Yeah, and the best part, he was actually available to do it later this summer. So that was one of the harder things that I was finding with some of the contractors around here right now was remodeling or adding on to stuff was very difficult for him to find the time to do it this year.
So we have a motion on the floor, but I never heard a second. Did I miss something?
Interesting.
No, you didn't. We haven't had a second yet.
I'll second it.
So you have $10,000 for the structure and $6,000 for the doors?
Mm-hmm.
But the doors are going to be leased at, right?
Correct. If we go with two manual doors, it would be $6,000.
You want to go to $7,000 just in case?
Yeah, so we would be looking for an approval of about $17,000, correct. That would be smart to think of adding a hair more just in case.
Okay, so do you want to amend your motion? I'm going to motion to approve the building with an expenditure not to exceed $17,000.
I'll second.
So are we done with discussion?
No, we're not, actually, because when I do the math, just to put one manual door and one electric door, you'd be at $17,850.
Well, we're talking about two manual doors right now.
Okay. All right. So not to exceed $17,000.
So are you going to, every day, you're going to You're just going to pull it out of here when you need it, right? So it'll be normally stored in here. So you probably don't need electric doors.
Correct.
And the other question is, do we have to get a building permit or some permit from the county?
That one will be one I will have to bring back to Ricky on that. Being that he is a licensed contractor, there should be no problem with that if we have to get a permit to do an add-on.
He can just go down.
He's going to have to go get permits to do a remodel.
Okay.
There's structural that's going to change. The wall is going to be there, and the main holding beams that hold all the weight and the posts, those aren't going to change. So it's just throwing up two real small walls where the doors are going to go, and one very large wall down the side.
Okay.
Well, given the visibility right next to the post office, there'll be a lot of people that'll be looking at it. So, you know, having a permit and doing this legally would be my my bias.
Okay.
Also, do we have any history with this Ricky Theiss Construction? I've never heard of him.
No, we don't. We haven't used him before.
Should we check some references before we agree to do this?
I know him, and he does quite a bit of remodels and builds throughout the Arnold and Dorrington area. I can get some references if you'd like. That should be no problem.
It's a late license number. Go to the contractor state license board and look at that license number, and you'll see how long he's been around, if there's been any complaints, that sort of thing. But the 6-digit license number tells you that it's probably 2005, 2006 when he got the license. Hasn't been around forever.
There's seven digits there, Jeff.
Yeah. 7 digits instead of 6.
I don't know. I just think if we're going to spend $20,000, we ought to have some references.
Absolutely. I agree.
And I'll take
the license right now. Go ahead.
And he should be able to get that information to you, Tyler, pretty quick, references.
Yeah, and he was able to give me the bid fairly quick, too, so I don't see there should be an issue with it.
It's current and active. That's all it says.
So, yeah, I'll reach out to him and get some of his references. I'll ask him about permitting. And we're looking at 2 roll-up doors of the manual type.
So if we have to have this permitted, somebody's going to have to do drawings. Is that something that he can do?
That I will have to ask him as well.
And then there will be fees from the building department. So I think this whole thing is a little premature, to be quite honest, until we have references and information about the building permit.
Okay.
I hate to be a stick in the mud, but I can't approve this the way it is.
Okay. Well, let's curve it to the next meeting, or if I get it far before the September meeting, I'll call a special meeting and see if we can move forward.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm looking at the license, and whenever I see this, it sends up a red flag for me. Under workers' compensation, it says this license is exempt from having workers' compensation insurance. They certify that they have no employees. That's highly unlikely. Somebody's getting paid under the table.
No, Jeff, he works by himself. That's for sure. He has no employees.
Right.
Well, I think that's fairly common if you work alone, right?
Correct. You don't need workers' comp if you work alone.
You don't. That's right. There's just not a whole lot of guys that work alone.
He does good work, I will tell you. I know that he's worked at Arnold Station. He's updated the buildings around Arnold Station and was always on time, always, and prompt with his work, good with his work, and on point for dollar amounts.
Right, where's Arnold Station?
Muterties.
Oh.
It's now owned by the Montgomerys, and they hired him to do some work in inside interiors of the buildings.
Hmm.
When do we take possession of the excavator?
We have already taken possession of it.
And where is it now?
It is at the treatment plant. It is locked up at the treatment plant under the underhang, and the trailer is sitting out to the sun.
So, Andrew, do we just table the discussion and not do a vote?
If that's the will of the board at this point, there was a motion and a second. Sounds like you're going a different direction as a board, but I do suggest just sort of bringing that to a closure. And if you don't want to take action at this point, you can just give informal direction to staff to investigate those issues and bring them back to the next board meeting.
What Andrew just said. So. And I do think if we can get the information sooner, we could have an interim board meeting before September. So we're not delaying too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think that's imperative. Otherwise, you know, it'll be, you know, driving nails in the next snowstorm.
We don't want to do that.
No.
It snows up there. So. Okay. Thank you, Tyler.
Yep.
Considering the information, I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just put it on hold for now.
Mm-hmm.
Next is
me,
Kathy, reportable monthly billing invoices and receivables.
So at the end of June, we billed out our third billing of six for the year. It was $271,378. The base rate and the USDA is always the same. So the only thing that changed was the metered water was $4,237. I also have three liens paid, but we had to add six. So, and then we have 559 auto pay users at this point.
Thank you. I don't know about the adding more liens, but I guess that's what we have to do.
Well, at the last board meeting, we discussed waiting until they were 3 or 4, you know, 6 to 8 months behind. And all these people are that far behind. And I've sent them the letters and the 30-day notice. I've sent emails. And I've even tried to call a couple and leave messages. And they're just not responding. So...
No, that's the right thing to do. So, thank you, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
And then
finally is the reportable items, and the only thing on there is the additional projects. I did finally receive one proposal from Rolleri Excavation. I've still not received my proposal from Cooper. And then if we're still looking for more proposals, I'm going to need to go out and start getting a couple new contractors to come in and try to bid on this. Kathy, will you pull up the bid so everybody can see it? And it's pretty straightforward. It just goes through the linear feet of pipe, the types of materials and what they're going to be replacing and doing. And that goes into the transmission line replacement from BLS Drive to Del Rio. The Boro Court, water main and services.
We can't see it, right? Yes.
So there's the first one. So this would be for the...
I'm having trouble finding it on my... It's open, but... Oh, here it is. Sorry.
Cheers.
Too many things are open.
Can you see it now?
Yes.
Okay. So this first one is for the... transmission line replacement from BLS Drive to Del Rio Court, which we've talked about in the past. It's approximately 450 linear feet of 6-inch AC pipe that will be replaced with 400 linear feet of C900 pipe, starting from BLS Drive up to through the easement in the back. So the two homes of 550 and 4, 551 and 4, and along the north lot line of 551 and 4, continuing up through the lot line of 124 and 9, and then connecting to the junction at Del Rio Court. That would replace that last piece of AC pipe on that back line. And as I recall as well, we talked about what we had to do for the removal of the AC pipe. Proper practice and what has been done in the past is it stays in the ground. We do not pull it out. That's when it becomes hazardous. So that one will also should be at a depth of approximately 32 inches to the top of pipe. Tracer wire will be added in there with caution tape. I think it's about 12 to 18 inches above pipe. Then we're going to replace the American Darling fire hydrant that has been out on Del Rio Court for almost a year. And then we have one service box on that line that will connect to this, the new C900 and place on its property pin. Rolleri Excavation will provide the C900 pipe, and we have all the other hardware and pipes associated with this that we've been gathering over the last 2 years or so, about since COVID hit and we couldn't do these projects. So we have most of the equipment and parts for this.
So how much is this bid?
The total bid for all these projects at the end is $194,500. It's the last page. Yes, there's three pages to this. So then there's the Boro Court water main and service replacement, which is just about 160 feet of 2-inch pipe. That would be replaced with 160 feet of 2-inch pipe, Schedule 80 or PE pipe. Either or would suffice what we allow to be installed in our subdivision. And this one will be junctioned in off Greensboro Way with a 6x6x6-inch T. And then we have the 6x2-inch flange that would go on the end of it to reduce it to 2-inch with a 2-inch square nut clove valve. Then there's the services in the court, which I believe it's 7 services. It's 3 doubles and 1 single.
Do you use Schedule 80 pipe?
Yeah, we have it in the subdivision multiple spots. We would try to use PE pipe. If we can get PE, that's what I would rather use. That's what's running down every court that Mazingo did for us is all PE pipe.
Is there a supply issue with PE pipe?
Not that I know of right now, but until we reach out and start trying to order it, that's when we're going to find out. So that's why I gave them the option to be able to use a Schedule 80 pipe, mainly because it's not under high pressure in that area as well. Although Schedule 80 pipe is quite robust.
So is this the same outfit that owns the stone yard just outside of Angel's Camp?
No, different part of the family.
Oh.
Tyler, it's Craig. I can't recall. Were these projects listed on, I'll call it Tom's schedule of future fixed asset additions or no?
Yes. This was projects we were trying to complete last year, and Mazingo turned it down. And so it got postponed to this year. But yes, it's a part of the capital asset plan. If you look at the capital asset plan, the part that was bid at around $300,000 from Mazingo, but there was also some extras to it that since then we've completed individually.
So I'm just curious if you add with whatever we've completed in the past, plus whatever this bid is and whatever else may be out there, how close was that? Is the most current cost to what the estimate was on the schedule?
The estimate on the schedule was around 300 and a quarter. So this one comes in about 125,000 less. Like I say, there's numerous things that were on that list that are not in this project because we've completed them.
And you don't know roughly, I'm just trying to get a feel for how accurate those costs are. I mean, it's a nice schedule, but it's only as good as the, you know, the numbers that are on there. I'm just trying to get a feel for how close that
is.
And then the tough part is the number that Mazingo was giving us also included parts, which we didn't off on our own. So we've already spent that money purchasing those parts. And I mean, to say Mazingo's bids usually came in quite low, and then quite a few change orders would come in and the price would climb. From at least this perspective that I've seen here, there isn't much that can change. So, I see the savings there, but I couldn't give you a comparison per se of the projects we've done and that cost savings that's happened. Because the guys, our field crew, has completed those, which that saves us exponentially.
Okay, fair enough.
And the last part to this bid is the two Spring Valley services, which we're going to try to thump under the road to save on paving. Of course, it is in quite a bit of rock over there. So until we start to run the thumper under the road, we don't have any idea if there's a rock there. It hits a rock, then it usually deflects, or you have to pull it back and you're not going to get to thump it, then we have to dig up the road. The last one is a service box 2367 on El Dorado that currently is on the wrong pin, which was done before my time being here, I'd say back in the 90s. And we need to relocate that box onto the proper pin over in that area. So that would complete the projects that he's going to attempt for us. These were the same projects that I sent to Cooper. There was no more, no less.
How long ago did you request the quotes from Cooper and from Rolieri?
May.
So it's been about 60 days, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, we did the walkthroughs with both those construction companies right before the May meeting.
Okay, thank you.
So have you had any follow-up conversation with Cooper?
So far, he hasn't returned my calls, and I haven't walked into his yard and knocked on his door. Typically, when I have done that, he's not there. So I'll try to catch him in the evening one of these nights. Sometimes I catch him in the grocery store around town. So as soon as I see him, I will be bugging him greatly about it because I would like to get his bid.
Yeah, my sense is he's kind of flaky of late.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of issues about him.
So, I mean, I don't have anything bad to say about him. It just is, it's extremely busy in Arnold this time of year, especially for him where he paves for the most part, and he hasn't gotten back to me yet. So I'll keep on him, and if the board requests, I'll go see if I can find other construction companies that might be willing to bid on this.
Yeah, following up what Craig's line of questioning was, one of the things you might consider doing, Tyler, is looking at the old Mazingo bid and then do deducts for what you guys have already done and see how close that comes to this bid.
Okay.
You know, my fear is that this project isn't big enough for, you know, a lot of, you know, potential, I'll call them construction companies. You know, I bet that may even be an issue with Cooper.
Yeah, I agree. It's a smaller project for some of these construction companies, and going through a Mazingo or per se Ford Construction, K&W Emerson, they typically handle multi-million dollar projects, not 100,000, 200,000. So it's going to be hard to find a good contractor that's going to do this. I do have to say Brian and one of his workers were the main people coming from Twainhart Construction, which completed quite a bit of our work in our subdivision already. So they're very familiar with our stuff, and they do great work. I have nothing bad to say about anything that Twainhart Construction put in before Twainhart sold their business. But
wasn't the Del Rio part, I don't know what it's called, the BLS drive to Del Rio, it wasn't like 140, and then Boro was another 40,000, so that would be 180 roughly.
Roughly, yes. And then I want to say the single service was around $5,000, and then the Spring Valley two services was somewhere in the ballpark. I want to say they said around 11 or 12 because of the unknown with the rock.
Right.
They could definitely be there. If they ran into a solid piece of rock, they may have to dig up the street and run a jackhammer on the end of an excavator for a couple of days to remove all that rock, be able to lay a pipe through there.
But I think Andy has and Craig have a good idea to look at we can go back and look at the old Mazingo bid from two or three years.
Yeah, total the old Mazingo bid of what these are, or these minus what we have completed out of that list.
Right.
So, Tyler, I'm a little confused. Now, who are these Twainhart people?
Twainhart Construction completed all of our pipe updating back before we did the USDA project. So Stephanie, Spring Valley, Greensboro, El Dorado, Grace, Marty, part of Jerry Lynn, Patricia, quite a bit of Blue Lake Springs they completed. That was all back with Ludorf and Scott Manini, I believe, back when we used to deal with them long ago.
So is there a reason why they haven't bid on this?
Twainhart Construction dissolved back in the early 2000s.
Oh.
And then all these workers branched out. Brian started his own company and has quite a few of the guys that used to be on the Twainhart Construction crew working for him now.
Was he just too small to bid on this?
Who's too small? The Twainhart?
Yeah.
Twainhart Construction doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I know, but you said the guy, people from there went off and started their own company.
Yeah, Brian started his, and he has quite a large excavation company. He also built the road for Borat for us, has installed numerous hydrants, meters. We've used them in the past. That's why I went back to him. He's small enough that he would be willing to do the work for us and
good enough.
Smaller cost.
So I'm sorry to be so anal about this. Is that the same as Roleri, or is that a different company?
No, Brian Roleri, that's this one. Roleri Excavation Company.
Oh, okay. All right.
I used the first name. I shouldn't have done that. So this is his bid. If the board wishes, I'll reach out and see if I can get more and keep pestering Cooper, see if we can get a second one before we finalize this, and I'll get you some numbers to compare what he's at there to what the cost was of Mazingo bidding on it.
How does the board feel about if we just confirm these prices with Mazingo and not get another bid? I mean, I know in my heart, being an engineer, I want three bids, but I look at the environment and we're not getting the bid from Cooper, where we normally would in the past. And it's such a small project that I think it's going to be hard to get someone to bid on this. I'm not trying to push the board into something. I'm just asking the question. How comfortable are we?
Well, I think what I would recommend is that Tyler continue to push forward and see what he can get from Cooper, if anything, and at the same time do a side-by-side comparison of this bid versus Mazingo, taking into consideration the deducts for work that's already been completed or work that's been done by the, you know, the existing crew. You know, if the delta is not significant, I don't know what significant would mean, but, you know, say plus or minus 10%, then, you know, going with a 194 may be the best option.
And how long will this work take?
We're looking at, it was a one day for the one service. I think it was less than a week for the Spring Valley services. So I think total around 3 weeks.
Okay. So we have some time before winter to either get another bid or do some analysis of the existing bid.
The plan was to try to complete these projects after Labor Day when our community slows down, because the main transmission line pumping to tank 6 will be down for that week that they're working on it. So we needed to get to where we're outside of our summer contractual agreements with CCWD. So I'm able to utilize the pump station and keep pumping water over to tank 6 and not having to rely on 5 days or a week without water going into tank 6. But going to when we have less usage and we're out of our contractual agreement, we were looking at starting work around October 1st to late September. We could do the Borough Court and Spring Valley services first, which would be probably prior to Labor Day, but the main transmission line would have to happen after Labor Day.
Okay.
That's if Larry's available then.
That's the timeline I gave him of when I wanted to do it because of the constraints.
Perfect.
He knows the time that what I'm looking at when I would like it to be done.
Perfect.
Same with Cooper. We went over that through our walkthrough.
But, you know, winter will be here before we know it, so I would say time is of the essence in, you know, getting Cooper off his butt, or, you know, getting, you know, the side-by-side analysis done with this bid.
Yes, and that's where if we had to call a special meeting before September, that would probably be what's going to happen right now. It'll be within the next week or two. I'm going to have to try to get Cooper to do it, or we're going to have to out him on the ability to take care of this project this year. The other option is we postpone it for another year. There's nothing that's detrimental that needs to be done right now. We're just following the capital asset plan, but we're already a year behind on it.
Well, we already have one special meeting on the table for before September.
Yep.
For your backhoe enclosure.
Correct. If I can get them all done at the same time, I'll try to combine those, and that way we can just have one special meeting and not try to call two.
I only get paid for 6 meetings a year, so.
Wait, you get paid?
wait a minute.
I must have missed a meeting somewhere where that was approved.
Yeah, well, you were you know, taking care of family business back, or you were in Europe or something. So
yeah, something like that.
That was the same time we got elected Dan to be president.
Excellent. So.
Yeah, so I'll work on checking on the references and what did I have here? The references.
Permits.
And permits for Ricky, yes, thank you. And then do the side-by-side comparison and then keep trying to reach out to Cooper. So, and I'll get back to you and try to combine that into one special meeting if possible.
That'd be great.
That's my plan.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Thank you, Tyler. I was going to thank Andy, but, you know, Tyler's going to be the one doing all the work, so.
You got that right.
I know he gets paid. I don't know. is there anything else? I don't see anything more on our agenda.
Nope, that is the final piece of the day.
Well, I want to thank everybody for all their efforts this year, and the committees who have been meeting or will be meeting for various things, and Kathy and Lee for their work, and Tyler, and Craig for being here and dealing with our financials, and Andy for filling in for me so many times since I'm always gone. So I'm sure I've missed somebody, but thank you all for everything.
Well, you're welcome. So before we sign off, Tyler, I seem to recall that we had some discussion about there being a holiday party or, you know, some sort of get together for the staff. Have you done anything to move that forward?
We haven't moved that forward. We were looking at after Thanksgiving, but before Christmas, if I recall.
Mm-hmm. Right. I just don't want to lose that from the agenda or from the calendar.
It's definitely something that's in the back of my mind, and I will be working on and getting a reservation or give you some quotes on what we can do. More than likely, that's going to be in the September meeting.
Okay.
Before we go, I just noticed one small thing in the financials. I reviewed these a week ago or so and made some notes and then put my notes and thoughts to Lee, and I think I left one off. It's a minor thing. On the cash basis budget sheet for the $145,000 that we have budgeted to transfer to reserves, right now it's not reflecting that any has been transferred so far. And I think we did do a transfer during the month. So just add that into the column. If that makes sense, Lee.
I think that makes sense, yes. I'll look into that.
Yeah, okay. That's all I've got.
Can you not page that phone, or
should I not worry about it? No, I got that, Kathy. We need a motion to adjourn.
Yes. Anyone want a motion to adjourn, or do you want to stay on the Zoom for a while?
I move that we adjourn.
Thank you, Andy. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Is that Bruce? Okay. Thank you. All in favor? Signified by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone want to say no? You say nay? Motion carries. Thank you all.
Thank you.
I hope to see you in Sequoia Woods soon. So
Sharon, I see all kinds of tiny pictures on your wall. Don't you have